Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Richard Landon for Set for Success, where we help you create a roadmap to transform your business, career, or life. If you build it, they will come. A very famous line from a book and a movie, Field of Dreams. I know the book was called something else, but the movie Field of Dreams. Creating something, offering something to the greater world takes forethought and a willingness to dream. I guess sometimes you have to put stuff together to attract business to our economy. Over the course of my programming, I've been trying to unearth our economy and get us celebrating what we do well and the business leaders that seem to help make things happen. To not be afraid to embrace the new, even if our more traditional business sector has to make changes. In a mid-range economy like Winnipeg, Manitoba, there has to be a lot that we offer to the world. And there are people out there in our business world dedicating their lives to making this city great. But part of that great city is knowing where jobs and money comes from. It's the hallmark of any urban center that plays on the international stage. And looking for handouts is not always an option. Offering a solid foundation, key business fundamentals to create and maintain a solid business ecosystem is important. When I mentioned build it and they will come from the Field of Dreams, what I meant was we need to have the right business elements in place to bring about making our economy the best and the center of Canadians' commerce universe. Yeah, I know, I'm into being Canada's center of the universe of commerce. As challenging as that may seem, there are organizations and business leaders working on manufacturing a successful economy for you today and for your kids tomorrow. And with that thought in mind, I'd like to welcome my guest, the president or vice president, actually, of Manitoba Manufacturing Exporters Manitoba, right? Did I get that correct? I think I just messed up the word on there.
Pretty close. CME, Canadian Manufacturers and Exporters.
Yeah. Ron, I've been really excited about getting you on the show and sort of having the opportunity to talk to you about a number of things, but we should start off with basically just getting to know you a little bit first, because I don't know a lot about you. I sort of read up a little bit about you on LinkedIn. I do that to everybody, but tell us a bit about yourself.
I guess these days nobody's a secret anymore.
No, we're not.
I like to talk about manufacturing, but from my own perspective, I've been through a variety of different careers, actually, but spent 20 years in manufacturing with Palliser Furniture. Ended up as a vice president of human resources. So I saw the company grow from 350 employees when I started to over 5,000 worldwide near the end. So that's where I really cut my teeth and enjoyed manufacturing, got to know a lot about it. And while at Palliser, ended up getting connected with CME as our business association in manufacturing. They helped me with a particular issue. I saw the benefit of a coordinated effort working with other manufacturers and with an organization that could bring things together. We accomplished an end goal that was important and valuable to us. And I got hooked on CME, and I ended up on the board. I ended up chairing the board. I ended up on the national CME board, and now I'm working for them.
Yeah, and how long have you been working for them?
I've been actually a staff member working for them from about 2005.
2005, so that's quite a while.
It seems like a long time already. Yeah.
It's amazing how time actually flies by when you're doing this or when you get involved in something that you really care about or you're passionate about.
I mean, absolutely.
Obviously, you developed a passion for the manufacturing industry out of your experience and coming from human resources.
Right.
I'm curious about manufacturing Manitoba. To me, I often hear it's a significant part of our economy. Yeah. How significant is manufacturing to our economy?
Great question. Manufacturing, by the numbers, is very roughly about 10%, a little over 10% of the GDP. It's over 10% of the employment, direct employment. But I always like to point out that statistically, for every job in manufacturing, that's a direct manufacturing job, there are probably about two other jobs that are service-related or support jobs, finance, services, all kinds of things, logistics, trucking, that depend on manufacturing for their jobs.
So it's
almost 30% of the jobs effectively depend on manufacturing. And as you said in your introduction, manufacturing is really adding value to something, creating a product and adding value to a physical product. And that encompasses, and people don't always get this, a broad range of manufactured products. So it's not just, metal and plastics and buses and equipment and that kind of thing, but it's food, it's printing, Those are, you know, it's the life sciences, chemicals, drugs, if you will.
It's interesting you would say that, because when I was thinking manufacturing, I was thinking plastic and metal. I didn't think in terms of food, I guess I would call it food processing. Would that
food
be
processing, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Even as I was preparing for the show, I was thinking about a company I know the CEO of that's involved in shotcrete. And shotcrete is the cement that you spray onto mines. And they have to manufacture that too. So I guess would that fall into that sort of
anytime you have to add value to something, think of taking a grain and making a bar out of it, or taking a little piece and making an airplane, or adding a, building a product that you're going to use somewhere to help somebody else.
That is, that's
a manufactured product, yeah.
You mentioned about 10% of GDP, is that
right.
What you said?
Yeah.
I like to put things in dollar amounts, so okay. Maybe you can sort of say, well, what does that mean, dollar amount, to our economy?
Dollar-wise, I think manufacturing represents about $17-18 billion
yeah,
a year,
a money.
And a good chunk of it is exported. And that's the other key thing with manufacturing is we're selling to other people outside of our own region, if you will, bringing new money into the economy. And exports are very, very important for a country.
Now, often as Canadians, we hear that, you know, our biggest partner is the United States.
Yes.
So if we bring it down, since we're sort of focused a little bit more on Manitoba here,
yep.
For Manitoba, is the United States the biggest partner for Manitoba?
Absolutely. They are and will continue to be the biggest partner. Hiccups south of the border notwithstanding, manufacturing depends heavily on U.S. markets. Now, having said that, I think we have opportunities now with the CETA agreement going to Europe and other countries. I think we're always trying to encourage our companies to grow their businesses beyond the traditional markets and the easy market of, let's say, the U.S., but moving into Europe, moving into Asia, moving into other parts of the world that are developing and have an appetite for our goods over here.
Are there any particular sectors in the marketplace that are more appealing in the manufacturing area?
It's more appealing to?
For exporting purposes.
Oh, I mean in terms of likelihood and an ability to export?
Yeah.
Well, obviously our agri products are world known to Asia in particular, for example. So pork, you know, you got High Life shipping tons of pork to Asia. You have a lot of our value-added agricultural products going overseas. But we also have, you know, equipment, everything from buildings, you know, the Balin Industries, for example, to Russia, or AGI, a big company here doing that, or a little company out of southern Manitoba building heavy-duty road moving equipment into the Middle East or Australia.
You know, Ron, what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I think what we can do is maybe unfold a little bit more to kind of things we are doing for the greater economy and what it means to us. This is Richard Lenn for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hello, everyone. It's Richard Lennon, and I'm hanging out today with the Vice President of Canadian Manufacturing Exporters Manitoba, Ron Kozlowski. Kozlowski. So I'm going to have to work on that a little bit, Ron. I'm known for fluffing people's names sometimes and messing them up, and I'm always apologetic, but then when I'm out in a crowd and then somebody pronounces mine wrong, I go, yeah.
I've been called a lot worse.
A lot worse. I suspect we all have. Just before the break, we were talking about the different types of industries that export, that we're involved in here in Manitoba, everything from agriculture to aerospace. And you mentioned even to the smaller side, smaller towns, building stuff going over to, was it the Middle East?
Middle East, Australia.
To lots of different places and that. Now, in terms of just the people side of that whole area, it must require a lot of different types of people with a variety of skills to be successful in the manufacturing industry.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's really evolved over the last, you know, 50 years. So we've moved from being almost all the people working in dirty, dangerous, declining, depressing factories, moving, you know, stuff or doing, working with equipment or things like that.
Lots of noise and lots of dust.
And it's becoming a lot less that way. With robotics, for example, there's a lot fewer very, very basic jobs, if you will, in manufacturing. But they've become it's such a broad industry that the talent required ranges from very technical skills required, you know, the electronics that are are in full play in manufacturing, all the way through to logistics supports, to marketing, to design, to engineering.
I remember reading an article somewhere about the manufacturing jobs of tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, because one of the things in our economy, in Canadian economy, we often talk about our manufacturing jobs. And I think you're sort of touching on this a bit, that they were talking about that the type of person, the education, the requirements of the future person in the manufacturing jobs is very different from our dad's day, you know, in terms of you just can't have a high school education anymore. You have to sort of go beyond and have a lot more than that. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Well, there are a lot of jobs these days that do require a lot more training, education in the technical area in particular. But, you know, there's still a lot to be said for experience. And
okay.
And so, yes, you need to get your foot in the door, so some education and training there. But there are more and more high-skilled jobs out there, no question. And the low-skilled jobs, as I said, are disappearing. But, you know, the person that can come to the workplace with some skills, some learning, some ability to learn, and the willingness to learn, that's the person that's still very much in demand in manufacturing.
I think we could probably say that for any organization. I mean, that, yeah. I've owned several businesses myself, yeah. and I've been privileged. I've worked for several other organizations, and ideally, I mean, any employee who's willing to come through the door and willing to learn and grow, I mean, they're an asset right away, you know, so it's quite significant. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we do a lot of work with trying to reach out to young people as well, because I find that till recently, at least, anyway, the young people coming through the school system were really not given any kind of exposure to what jobs were out there, what kinds of skills are necessary in today's world. And it's getting a bit better, but we'd love to be able to talk to kids about what are the kinds of things that you could see and you could look forward to in a manufacturing career that
can,
would...
Can you provide some examples of that, so for our listeners, so that they sort of have an understanding in terms of what we're presenting to the younger generation?
Well, as I mentioned, the range of skills that we talked, or the job opportunities we talked about before. I said to people, if you want to travel, you know, join manufacturing. There's a lot of people that need to travel, whether it's for design, creation purposes, sales, marketing, business development purposes, and so on. So, you know, that's just one example, but you know, there's so much these days around innovation in manufacturing. And so we really need the creative types in manufacturing to help, you know, make that product the best product, the most useful. Kind of like, you know, the iPhone, you know.
Yeah, okay.
We need that kind of creativity in manufacturing.
You know, it's interesting you would say that, because I've been featuring the tech sector a bit on the show, and intentionally so. Yeah. I think there's so many businesses that we can unearth in our economy, and it's the same way. There's this whole hidden information technology sector, if you wish, the ICT sector, where the same idea that we need that brain power to sort of stay in our economy for innovation purposes.
Absolutely, and are the manufacturing operations are going to more and more things like robotics, integrated systems in a manufacturing plant that need to have equipment speaking to each other. And that requires people understanding how to make that all happen and how to look at the system-wide approach of building technology, advanced manufacturing in a very highly technical world.
So that's actually good to, I'm going to use the word unearth again, because like we started off this particular segment saying, you know, the manufacturing job of yesterday is not the same as the job of today. So maybe uses the individual a little bit more than maybe former jobs.
Well, I think these days, any company that doesn't fully utilize the intellectual capacity of their employees is going to be out of business. You know, the old days of check your brains at the door just don't work anymore. And in fact, the companies that are most successful are those that learn how to engage their employees, create opportunities for them, leverage the talents that they have in the best way possible. So there's a nice balancing game. But, you know, that's the real opportunity in differentiating yourself from other companies in Canada or globally. We compete globally.
I love the fact that you use the word differentiate, because I think that's one of the ones in business. I mean, the amount of times I've been in a boardroom meeting where people ask the question, how are we different than everybody else? How do we differentiate ourselves? Yeah. And I think it's nice that you put one out there. I mean, that's good.
That's where the profit is. You can do the same thing as somebody else, but then you really have to have very thin margins and work very hard to do that. You can develop much better profit bottom line if you do have something unique, meaningfully unique.
Okay. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I think what we should talk about is maybe the challenges that exist within the manufacturing industry. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I am hanging out with, I'm just going to call him Ron, from the Canadian Manufacturing and Exporters Manitoba. All correct on that one, Ron?
Yes, although we are a national organization, I do represent or lead Manitoba in that regard.
I know. Yeah. I was looking at that, and I discovered as I was on your website, I stopped and clicked and go, okay, I'm looking at the national website right now, which was really good, great information, great reports on the economics and that, and I sort of love that kind of stuff. So I start reading, I got to get out of there because they're not, 2 hours goes by and I'm in trouble. But then I did click on the Manitoba side, and it made me start to think about the kind of challenges that we must have in the manufacturing sector, especially as I started reading through some of the information. Maybe you could address that for us, and from an economic perspective, what are some of the challenges?
Sure. Well, first of all, manufacturing in Manitoba is kind of unique. We're in the middle of nowhere, as people often say, and yet center of everything. So
I know, amazing thing, isn't it? How do you do that, right?
But we've developed quite a nice hub. In fact, I would argue the most diverse manufacturing center in Canada. But some of the things that we're facing, and this is not necessarily unique, but in some cases is, but we have for years already been facing global competition. So we do not compete with the guy down the road or the person down the road. This is any country in the world can these days ship products. And so I keep reminding government and others that whatever you do, we need to make sure that our environment here is competitive and allows manufacturers to thrive in Manitoba. But obviously some of the current issues, we as mentioned before, we trade heavily with the U.S. Well, the concerns more recently have been, and have been for quite some number of years, really, is Buy America, the sticky border, things that make life more difficult to get
changes
goods there.
To the NAFTA agreement, big topic.
Yeah, we've become wealthy, and I would argue both Canada and the U.S., as well as Mexico, all countries really have become wealthy, and I'll make the point very clearly that open trade has created wealth for everybody, has driven up the standard of living for everybody over the years. And we are at a time, not just in the U.S., but even in other parts of the world where protectionism, you saw some of the French election issues, the Brexit, some of the protectionist issues, items that come up now are a little worrisome. So that's something we're looking at, and we're trying to support our companies in exporting and finding new markets, really, to make sure that they have a marketplace. Technology is revolutionizing manufacturing. We talked a bit about it already, but the Industry 4.0, whatever you want to call it, the point is that between sensors and nanotechnology and additive manufacturing and robotics,
deep learning.
Absolutely. We are talking about a new way, and I know everybody says it's changing, but it truly is changing, and you can start to see that. And so that's something we were trying to help our companies through as well. And of course, as I mentioned, innovation. How do you create innovation? It's easy to say, but innovation isn't something that happens. So how do you help companies and how do you help individuals? And then finally, the thing that we're finding is leadership. A lot of our up-and-coming companies, and in Manitoba, we're a manufacturing base built on startups that started in Manitoba. We don't attract a lot of new big companies to Manitoba. So best we can do is support our companies that are growing here. But often these people are inexperienced. They haven't been through the wars. They haven't experienced a lot of the things they need to. They need somebody to coach, to mentor, to advise. They need others to rub against, to say what worked for you in this area, what didn't. And so that's part of, and again, moving to what CME does, That's what we're all about. We're a network organization. We have key people. They've been through the wars, but we facilitate those kinds of connections. We facilitate a support for the top, the owner, the executives, in order to help them look at the up-and-coming issues they're facing or the opportunities, and to be able to address those in the most effective way.
It makes a sort of an interesting, I guess, question is in terms of in what way do you do that? I mean, that's a pretty big mandate because, yep. I mean, you just hit everything from, you know, global competitions to trade changes to technology issues, the need to be innovative and have leadership skills. Yep. I mean, those are all heavy. I call those heavyweight items.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. But that goes to our mission statement at CME, which is helping manufacturers grow. And so what we do, we have a variety of themes, topics, approaches we use. In the leadership area, we run executive councils. We facilitate monthly meetings with the president, CEOs of SMEs getting together. We facilitate that. They learn a tremendous amount and they share with each other. It's an advisory board, really, for these folks. We also do leadership training for the first, second level leaders and leadership levels in organizations. And again, leadership is so important because that's what translates the goals and objectives of the company to the person actually doing the work of adding value for the customer.
Yeah, actions.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's on the leadership. And it's a lot of one-on-one coaching at the top. We actually spend a lot of time with our folks sitting down in the company's offices, one-on-one, going through their strategy, going through and including business development and sales. So are you ready to market your products? You know, how do you go about making that step into another country, et cetera, et cetera? All those very high-level strategic decisions need to have some support. So we work with them on that. But we also do some very, very strategic things around lean. If you looked at our website, you see that's all
Lean's
over
Lean's all over it, yeah. And, you know, I'm a big fan of Lean. I got introduced to the Lean. I always like to share little stories.
Okay.
But I got introduced to the Lean here in Winnipeg back in the 80s. Quality Circle, and sort of out of that, with a company called Honda Trade Center. And it just happened to be that I was a young man working in the parts and service area, and they were really savvy. So, yep. I mean, yeah.
Yep.
So your Lean work is yeah, right up my alley. I get it.
Anyway, and it's been huge. It actually, when the dollar went from 65 cents to over par years ago,
yeah.
There was great consternation and angst about whether we'd keep our manufacturing. And lean was a way of dealing with productivity issues that was necessary. But it's simply a great way of looking at any process and looking at what the customer really needs and wants, eliminating all those things that aren't really necessary to deliver value to the customer, and engaging the employees in the process of doing that, because they know best where all the waste is hidden. And you expose problems rather than our typical tendency in North America of hiding them. But it also applies not just to manufacturing, and this is what we found of real great interest. We've helped, for example, the province of Manitoba look at going lean in their own organization, because there's so much opportunity, and it's not just government. It can be anything. It can be the police service. It can be the airport.
It's amazing, actually, where it applies. So I'm going to share a story on my side, because I think, Ron, you've gotten to know me a little bit, that I'm a strategic facilitator,
right?
And I once worked with a railroad company with their kitchen cars, and we applied lean to the kitchen cars to make them far more efficient, so they could, if you wish, in your terms, manufacture food more efficiently,
right,
within a very small space. And it was fascinating to actually have the people involved in making those decisions. So I just want to say, I understand what you're doing. Yeah, it's good.
It's amazing. And you know what? We're competing, as I said, globally, but we're competing with our infrastructure, our government services, our healthcare, our education system, you know, our way of life, if you will, in Manitoba. We are, in a sense, competing with other jurisdictions. And if we can be better at serving our customers, whether it's our citizens, whether it's our buying customers, we'll all be better for that.
Yeah, it's always about, I guess, I agree. And if we go back to the whole lean concept, if you can eliminate the waste, the production or waste that you're creating, then I guess you do have the opportunity to be far more efficient.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Today is my guest from the Canadian Manufacturing Exporters, Manitoba, Ron. He's the vice president there. And basically, we've been talking about the whole export industry, or sorry, manufacturing industry. We did talk a lot about exporting in terms of Manitoba and Canada, and I guess globally, too. Just before the break, we were talking a bit about the challenges and some of the unique things that were that really business leaders in the manufacturing industry is facing. Everything from global competition to technology and innovation, leadership. What are some of the other things that, in terms of a manufacturing association, that you look at for its membership and for the industry overall?
Well, one other area, we have a group of now 10 people, recently formed safety association. So we help our companies with... We want manufacturing to be, you know, as safe as any other place, and we're getting there. But so we have a team of people that do that. The other area that that I personally spend a lot of time on is advocacy and intelligence. And by advocacy, I don't mean just lobbying government in the traditional sense of, you know, we want more this or less that, whatever. It's really representing manufacturing interests and concerns that they have. As an example, we had a lot of concerns arising out of when companies buy a piece of equipment. A lot of effort required and approvals required. But you got the Office of the Fire Commissioner, you got Hydro or the City of Winnipeg, and some of the red tape and the regulatory requirements, which at the end of the day, based on German technicians coming here with their equipment, were deemed to be excessive compared to other parts of the world. And so we're working with the province, and they've been very willing with the government in place now to really look at red tape, as you know, with the Red Tape Reduction Initiative. So these are the kinds of things that we do to advocate. But also we're talking now about carbon tax and trying to say what makes sense in Manitoba as it relates to a carbon tax, because, you know, in the absence of reducing greenhouse gases, a carbon tax is just another tax. And if that's all it is, then it's going to hurt our competitiveness, and we're going to export our pollution to the Americans. Well, so those are the kinds of issues that we're trying to deal with and support our companies on. And I'm meeting regularly with ministers or even with the premier from time to time to try to explain what is it that will create the environment for manufacturing to grow, because that's really their goal as well. They want to grow the economy, and that's what our mission is to grow the economy. So I've got a public policy principles I pull out. I've in a series of things that I talk to government about that sort of position public policies in a certain way. And it's all is a number of things, but it's about choice for citizens. It's about the fact that the government has nothing except that which they take from their citizens, and that regulation must be, you know, clear, concise, smart, and also looking at outcomes, not how you get to an outcome, but actually what the outcome is, and not prescribing, you know, all the details of getting there. And so there's a number of things like that that we use.
Yeah, that's actually quite involved, because as I was listening to you speak, I can imagine being an owner, a leader, a business leader with a manufacturing organization trying to bring in a piece of equipment. That was the first part of what, and the amount of hoops you'd have to go through. And who could help me with that? I mean, because I find times when I'm looking at things and I'm helping out an industry, we often run into a situation where we have to seek out the expertise of somebody else to help us get through all these hoops. And I think that's an important one to get past.
Well, and that's exactly what we do. We are there as a network organization. We know other companies that have gone through things. We can aggregate those concerns. We can bring them to a government when sometimes companies are a little afraid to do that individually. But the point is, if you've got a problem or an opportunity, give us a call. We probably know somebody that's gone through that or can help you with that, or we can help you directly.
Yeah, and that's what I was sort of hoping you're saying, because I had that moment of being that business owner and going, oh my gosh, I'm overwhelmed, right? Yeah. And you need to have somewhere to go to. You mentioned the word intelligence when you were speaking. I wasn't too sure what you meant when you mentioned it. Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure. Intelligence can mean everything from where you go to get supports for building a new market in a different country to reports around what are the latest trade numbers, what are the statistics related to, and what's the correlation between investment in technology and the reduction in greenhouse gases. We track those things, and we have some information that we can bring to bear on those topics. But most of the intelligence, it's got to be practical. It's got to be something that is going to be of use to our member companies, things that they will need in order to help them overcome a particular burden that they're or a hurdle they're facing or an opportunity they've got.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you answered it that way because right away my mind went to business intelligence and what that meant. And I remember I was, this business that I was working with and we were talking about the whole idea of intelligence and data. And his big thing was we have lots of data. We just want to know what to do with it.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, and data intelligence without having a very practical application is useless.
It is. Yeah, it is. You just end up with a whole bunch. It's almost like Trivia Pursuit years ago. Well, I know you can play it now, but from the what they used to say, from the files of useless information, Trivia Pursuit. We want good quality data, good intelligence, something that's relevant to our businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're dealing with entrepreneurs. We're dealing with people who get what needs to be done. They want to get somewhere. We're trying to work with them and helping them to become a little more aggressive in terms of reaching those goals, because sometimes Canadians are and Manitobans are just a little bit too nice, and so in the big world, I think we have to we want to encourage them anyway to succeed, and so all the things that go into building a successful business is really what we try to find and support them with.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point that you just made about helping people to succeed and putting ourselves out there. I often say step up and step out, because in other cities and other parts in the world, they have no issue with hiding their abilities whatsoever.
No.
I mean, they'll use the word aggressive. I'll use the word assertive. They'll be very assertive in putting themselves forward.
Right. Well, we want companies to be set for success.
Oh, thanks, Ron. I do too. Ron, if somebody wants to get in touch with you guys, learn a little bit more, maybe connect, how would they go about doing that?
Oh, I can give you a lot of ways, but I think the simplest to reference our website. It's called daretocompete.ca. Try to keep it simple. That's our challenges to manufacturing. So check us out on that, and we'd love to help you.
Yeah, daretocompete.ca.
Right.
I love the name right away. I'm actually glad you got that, daretocompete.ca. You can't forget that. What a show we've been having. I've been thoroughly enjoying the conversation, and quite honest with you, I've been looking forward to this for a long time.
So have I.
I've been in my element here, sitting here going, wow. Ron, if there was a final thought for our listeners that you could share, what would it be?
Well, if you're in manufacturing and you are wondering about any of the things we talked about, give us a call. And if you're not in manufacturing and you're looking at getting involved, give us a call.
Yeah, okay. That works out quite well. I mean, let's connect. You know, you're doing an incredibly important part for our economy. We've already identified that it's 10% of our GDP, so that's quite significant, 10% number, and then employing quite a few people, and plus, you know, spin-off jobs too. So quite important to be able to support this part of our economy.
Right.
This is Richard Lanifer for Set for Success, and no doubt, Ron, I want to thank you for being here. You're a great guy. Love hanging out with you, so it's wonderful information. Also, for our listeners, you know, thanks for tuning in, and if you have a question, maybe a thought, an idea for a show or a guest that I think you should that I should have on, send me an email at richard@setforsuccess.ca. And do remember to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.